and welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever here on the Sideshow Network. This is the podcast where we read crappy comics in our comic book collection and tell you all about them. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean.
And we have two more crappy shit-tacular selections for you today.
Yeah, we do. We're going into the 70s.
Oh shit.
To start.
Oh shit.
We're starting off. It is on. We are going to the hippy dippy world of Steve Ditko. The great Steve Ditko.
Yep.
And we are doing Shade the Changing Man, Volume 1, Number 3, from October, November 1977.
Meh.
Meh.
Meh. You're going to have to explain a little bit to me about Shade the Changing Man.
Okay.
Because so I am not familiar with him at all.
Okay, well, there's really not much. I mean, because he didn't. Okay, so this is only the third issue of his existence.
Right.
But basically all you need to know is that, so he exists on a world called Meta.
Uh-huh.
Which is.
Got that.
It's a world where basically there's humans, but there's also, like, you know, it's all basically 70s, like, Logan's Run kind of weirdness.
Yeah.
And he's, like, some sort of secret... He's some sort of, like, government operative who gets framed.
Right.
For treason and for trying to cripple somebody, some girl's parents. And...
His fiancé's parents.
Right. And he finds a way to... He finds this... He has this... I think he steals this vest... Called yes. The M vest, which is the outfit that you see him in, and basically the M vest is something that allows him to have create a force field. It allows him to fly. Mm-hmm. It also allows him to project his weird face, as you can see on the cover.
Yeah, that was what I was confused about. I didn't understand the weird face part.
It never made a lot of sense to me, and it still doesn't.
Yeah, I'm really confused because I was like, wait, what's going on? It's kind of like an extension of his aura. Sort of, or like
right.
An energy field, but maybe?
Well, that's basically what it is. I mean, and he's got these giant, he's got his hands that can look like they're growing to be bigger than they are because they're covered by this force field.
Like energy thing.
Energy force field, and he can, create distorted images of himself to freak people out.
Okay. Sure.
That's kind of basically what he's up to.
Okay.
At this point. And so so I guess like there's this thing where they could travel between Meta and Earth.
Yes.
Because they go through some sort of like phantom zone, evil zone.
Yeah, it's kind of like a boom tube, but not.
Yeah, it's like a boom tube kind of thing. And he finds his way back and go back and forth and he escapes to Earth. And, he's investigating something, and then basically at the start of this book, he's on Earth being, about to be killed. So,
okay.
Let's get into it.
Sure.
So, Shade the Changing Man, escape into the trap.
It's a trap.
It's a trap.
It's a trap.
So, he goes on Earth, he's on Earth, Shade's on Earth, and he is being attacked by this girl, Melu.
Yeah, and that's his fiance.
It's his fiance,
but... She's attacking him with a flashlight.
Or it looks like a CD player.
Sure.
Or a strudel.
Delicious.
Delicious strudel.
That just shines light.
It's shining some sort of heat light on him, and it's basically like...
And he's like melting.
Because it's negating his force field. It's helping him, providing her.
He's pulling some wicked Witch of the West and the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Melting! Bullshit. And she's just, like, really mad.
She's really mad because it's her parents that were crippled.
Yes. They were hurt by a bomb that everybody says he set off.
Right. Because her parents are, like, some sort of, like, government operatives. There's a bunch of this bullshit going on.
Yeah, it's just...
I will admit this. I mean, because what I'll normally do, like, if I'm not as familiar, if I'm just trying to catch up, because, it's been a while since I've read this book... I'll go back and I'll read, the DC Wiki or just Wikipedia.
Right.
Just to see what the hell it's about.
Well, it doesn't really matter. I was looking at the Wikipedia. It doesn't really... Meh.
Well, it makes sense,
sure.
But at the same time, it doesn't. Because, there's a lot of, weird people weird things going on in this world, and a lot of like twists and espionage and turns, you know, that you don't really quite grasp if you're not, you know, heavily invested in drugs. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I should be full of LSD and enjoying this.
Yeah, it's one of those.
But, yeah. So she's trying to fry him. He's, you know, because he's on Earth, and she's trying to fry him, and she's thinking back. She's like, I still remember when we met. You know, basically, she's,
yeah, then we got, like, a flashback.
We got, like, this giant flashback.
Huge it's like, flashback, like, 2 pages long. No, three. No. 3 page long flashback.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's, like, 3 pages long, and, like,
because of literally, it's like everything they did. It's like we went on a date, right. And then we went to the store,
yeah.
And then we had some salad, and then
that salad was great.
And that salad was great. Here, look at us washing the dishes. It's like, all right, enough.
Because I guess so. What was happening is she decided she wanted to become like a bodyguard for her parents,
right?
So, and Shade's like, I'll teach you, and so he does, and then she like stops an attack on her dad's life. Or something.
Yeah, because she's...
By becoming, like, a giant arm with just a head on it. Like, so this is what I don't understand.
She becomes a Calypso so, with just a head and an arm.
Yeah. So is this... This is one panel. So does she split herself into two and then also have, like, a head arm?
No. It's just the way this is drawn.
Oh. Because
there's a head.
The head arm is, like, her energy.
Well, this is what I'm confused. This is what I'm confused. Well, this is the... No. This is okay.
But she can do what he can.
No, she can't.
What the hell? Why does her face have
to... Because it's just the way it's drawn. She's... Okay, so listen. Okay. So she is...
Why can't expressions make noises?
She's making... I missed the expression. What was the expression? Oh, meh. Okay. So basically, you know, we go through... Because this is like literally everything they've ever done as a couple... Where he's teaching her stuff, and you know he's kind of beating her up, you know, and he's like, "Oh no, we got to make it as hard as possible."
Right.
And her face is shaded a lot. That's just why her face is blue.
But no, but like that, her face is actually blue
because it's in the because this is happening in a back alley, right?
Well, because that's all right. So here's the lesson that we can learn from DC Comics. If you have parents, never walk through an alley with them.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Even if you're not on Earth, any planet.
Your parents will get fucked up if you walk with them through an alleyway.
Don't ever go an alley.
Yeah, just don't do it.
Your parents will go alone.
Now, if you don't want your parents to live, walk them down an alleyway.
Your parents could go alone by themselves, or sure. You can go by yourselves. I think that would have been different if Bruce Wayne... had walked down the alleyway first, and it was like, it's okay, Mom,
yeah,
Dad.
If he
won't get totally stabbed and robbed.
Exactly. He should have gone first, and then they should, like, and he should have just waited on the other side.
Or they should have went first, and then just let him walk his own.
Yeah, and everything would have been okay. The fact that they were together is what brought the violence.
Yes.
I think that's what DC Comics
Joe is Chill is like, family! Kill.
Yeah. That's the only way that people can kill you in an alleyway, is if you're there with a family. So, you know.
So clearly, she's following her, she's walking with her dad.
In an alleyway,
and turns out, like, she's, because her parents are, like, some sort of government folks, so there a bunch of people come to attack them, and it looks like Shade shows up to help her.
Yeah.
And we're kind of just getting, like, you know, random, this is not her. Okay. It is her, but it's just the way it's drawn where you can see that she's, you know. In action, she's punching some guy in the face.
I like the idea that she just becomes an arm with just a head attached.
Yeah, she's not using a vest. She's not using his vest. She doesn't. See. And Shade doesn't have these powers yet.
See, I really just like the idea that like her training consisted of like compacting her body into changing it into
being
a head
disembodied and a head and half
but, like,
a clavicle.
Not, yeah, but not even like she doesn't even have a neck. It's just like her head is just stuck to a shoulder.
That would actually
punches.
Just that's
a better. Fucking comic book. This one.
The head and shoulder woman.
Mm-hmm.
Head and one shoulder.
And she's just like an arm that like flies through the air and punches. With like a head on it.
So she falls for Shade. They're getting married.
Shade's creepy looking shit in these panels because he's like, I don't know.
He's like, argh.
I don't know. There's just something. It's like.
Well, it's the way Ditko draws him.
Yeah. It's
just very,
Yeah, he's got like a square head.
He has a
like
very distinct style, and everybody's really, kind of very square.
Yeah, with like really, really thick eyebrows. He's got
yeah, he loves his eyebrows.
Got kind of like a chin going on.
Everybody's got a lot of eyebrows, a lot of chins. Shading, a lot of lines.
Yeah.
A lot of random lines.
Yeah.
But,
he kind of looks like he has like, do you remember Eddie Munster? He has like Eddie Munster hair.
Oh, yeah, he's Butch Patrick, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, So
they're like, we're gonna get married, and everybody's like, that's awesome, oh my god, it's so great. And then something happens where
Shade's like this whatever. So he
Yeah, he like works for the government too, right?
He works for the government too. Everybody's working and they're like, hey, there's a treason plot that's gonna take over the planet, and he assigns him to work with people, and his wife, or this girl, Mello, finds him lurking outside of the house, her house, and for whatever reason, her house explodes.
Yeah, there's like a bomb thing, and like and her parents are injured because they walked down an alleyway with her earlier.
Yeah.
And so she...
So she blames him.
She blames him because she found him lurking outside, so she thinks he set the bomb.
Yeah. Having no trust at all in him, you know, which right. it's kind of like, oh man, I love you, and then she's like...
It's kind of weird, because she's just like, hey, you're standing outside my house. Like, he could be there for a number of reasons. Like, he could be coming to see her.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously they're engaged, they're gonna get married, but like, the minute this bomb goes off, she instantly blames him.
Yeah, so she usually blames him, and then he gets...
And then he gets arrested.
So he gets arrested, and then the father kind of comes to, you know, his...
His defense.
He's like, yeah, he was going to tell me about this treason plot, and whoever is, like, his superior was like, he's like, no, that was wrong.
No.
I never did it, and his wife's like, you know, his fiance's like, yeah, he sucks. And then he gets sentenced. Shade gets sentenced to death.
Right.
But you know, and this is and then basically here
and
we are.
And this is 2.5 pages of describing this backstory.
Right. So anyway,
if this is only the third issue, then this probably just happened in the last 2 issues.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then we got
2.5 pages.
Well, I mean, there's a thing though. If you're not reading this regularly, you pick this up at the third issue, and you're like, "What the fuck is going on?
I guess.
Why is his face getting big? You know, why is all this stuff?" So yeah. So anyway, so basically, he disarms this girl while he's fighting her.
Yeah, he throws a rock at her.
You know, and he disarms her.
And he's like, I'm so sorry, I don't want to hurt you. And she's like, I hate you, you crippled my parents.
Yeah.
And so he punches her in the face.
Punches her in the face with his big hand.
And so she's unconscious.
He's unconscious, and then I guess there's a bunch of security detail that are trying to go into Earth. You know, between the what's called the Zero Zone, which is, you know, what separates Meta and Earth.
Yeah.
And they're going through, and apparently they run into some flesh-eating monsters.
Yeah, that live there.
Yeah. And he jumps back through to get back to Meta, and he runs into this altercation and manages to help defeat them.
Yeah.
Some of these monsters. And... Right.
And then he goes back to Meta. And then we go to a ball guy?
So I look at this. So basically there's this red Pac-Man looking guy.
Yeah, he's kind of like, he kind of looks like a gumball with arms.
Yeah, Pac-Man.
No, just a gumball.
Not
even Pac-Man, just a regular old gumball.
Gumball man. Some gumball man with eyes and a big mouth, and he's like, his name is Sude?
Yeah.
Sude? It's like Suede, but without the E?
I kept wanting to call him Suede the entire time, and I'm like, no, it's
Why not just call him Suede? Why not just call him something else?
Suede
like,
would work, it would make more sense, but Sude or Sude?
Sude. Sude. Sude.
Bally.
Sud. Suddy.
Bally.
Suddy.
Suddy. Sure, Suddy.
Anyways, yeah.
Ball dude.
Excuse me, ball dude.
Yeah.
So apparently ball dude is...
Is that what we're going to call him now?
Ball dude is...
Ball dude.
He's like a czar. Oh, he has a nose, too. Look at his little nose. He has a little nose.
I know. It's cute.
He has a little snout. little ball snout. Oh wait, is that a person inside or is that his nose?
I thought it was his nose.
Does it look like a person inside controlling that, or does that could be?
Could be, but it kind of just looks like his nose.
I'm so confused.
It's best not to ask.
I need answers. And Steve Ditko is hiding, so I can't ask him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's telling the, I think it's the Captain Majan, who is the, I think he's one of the...
He's like he was Shade's superior officer.
Yeah, basically one of the guys that sold him out.
Yeah.
And he, he's like, look, you gotta kind of help me out here, you know, because Shade's out there on the loose and he's gonna ruin everything. So, you know, you have to like,
bounce on him.
Bounce. Somebody throw me at him. You will. Okay. Well, whatever. So she's back. So anyway, so the girl comes back, Bellu comes back, and they're like, you fucked up.
Yeah.
So we're going to like, you should like retire. Because you suck. That's basically what they tell her.
Yeah.
It's like, you suck like, because you love Shade. You love Shade. And she's like, no, I don't love Shade. I didn't mean to do it. And then there's this other doctor that's like checking out these screaming men.
Are those the same screaming men that Shade just saved?
No.
Or are these different
screaming
men?
No, apparently there's like another place where you could throw people. It's like a phantom zone that incurs madness.
Okay.
Right? And apparently these guys were in there. In the area of madness, and they're just kind of screaming. And this doctor's like, why are they screaming? You know, and so then they bring in those guys that were, that Shade saved, and they're like, hey, Shade saved us. They're like, no, you're not, you're delirious. Put them away.
Right.
And don't let anybody visit them because
No one talk to them.
No one talk to them because we're crooked.
Yeah.
And fuck Shade.
Yeah, fuck Shade. Everybody on the planet basically is out to get this guy.
Basically. Yeah. So Shade's,
I don't know, he's stomping around.
Yeah, he's futzing around here. There's a lot of,
talking.
There's a lot of talking, a lot of guys with mustaches. There's a guy, who's this guy with his mustache? Oh. Is this Captain Majan? No, it's not.
No, it can't be.
This is like, who is this? Colonel Cross? Cross.
Yes.
Colonel Cross. Well, I actually just noticed I forgot to say something here. So I like how they say that instead of being murdered, they say they negate him.
He's been negated.
Negated. It's a murder death kill for Demolition Man fans.
Murder death kill.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Let's see. What else?
I don't know. So he like goes to talk to this guy who apparently is like one of the only people who believes him.
Right.
And as that's going on, his fiance's like hanging out with her parents, and her parents are like, "I don't know how we all could have been so wrong about him."
They're kind of—they're actually
thought he was great.
I'll be honest, too; they're very optimistic for being crippled old people.
Well, you know, I think they're just like, you know, it's all right. What are we going to do? We got to keep living our lives.
Because they can still apparently work, and they're all and there's a lot of. You know, this other thing too is I've been reading comic books like this.
Uh-huh.
Back from, like, this time or whatever. Like, the 70s. Every sentence ends in an exclamation point.
Yeah, it really does.
Like, it's really...
People were really excited back then.
Like, they're like, they're excited about everything! Like,
everything!
So, it's basically, she's talking to her parents. I've been participating in my governmental activities via TV hookup! And I've been reading first-hand reports of our agents from my Earth-related research! We're both glad... You didn't kill Shade, Mellow, even though it's hurt your career. I tried to kill him. I still want to. I just don't understand how we've been so wrong about him.
Yeah, there's a lot of shouting.
That's two panels. They can't just be like, you don't have to. Why are they shouting?
I don't know.
Why am I shouting?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. So she's like, no, I still want to kill him.
And she's like, you know, you can't just turn love off. You must be like, it must be hard for you to deal with this. And I feel like her parents kind of don't think he should be killed?
No, they don't, because they don't really... I think they sort of feel that he isn't... Even though it's proven that he's responsible, or they, you know, it's been told that he's responsible, maybe they don't really think he is.
Right, and I think that they think that their daughter's kind of going a little nuts.
Yeah, she's...
Because she's just like, I have to kill him now. But her parents are still alive, and they seem seemingly upbeat.
That's what I said. I was like,
So I'm not exactly sure why she's like, vengeance! Like, you're like, well, calm down.
It'd be like a Bruce Wayne if like Martha, Martha and Thomas were just like, oh, we stubbed her toe, running away from the thing, and he's like, vengeance, bat kill.
Well, that's what happened in like, remember that Superman Batman one where there's like all those other universes that come
right into the little kids,
the chibi universe,
yeah.
And then he's like, well, my parents got pushed. And I'm doing this so my parents will never get pushed again. And no one's parents will ever get pushed. And then he looks at him and goes, what happened to your parents? And Big Batman's just like, nothing.
That's where Superman got sent to another planet because there wasn't as much sunshine on his planet, so they sent him to Earth.
Yeah.
It wasn't that Krypton blew up. It was because they
needed more sun.
It was too, needed more sun because the rain, it was too rainy on his own planet. That's kind of actually adorable.
What's going on here? She's just like, I'm so upset that my parents are still alive. Maybe that was the thing. Maybe that's why she's mad. She wanted them to be dead so she could get their money.
Oh,
I mean, I'm assuming that inheritance works the same way on this planet.
Yeah. Kill your parents, they give you a big box of cash.
She seems like, so maybe she's upset because they're still alive, and that's why she wants to kill Shade because he botched her plan.
Yeah, maybe. So anyway, so Shade's flopping around in Meta, which basically just looks like this, looks like the planet itself just looks like the Jetsons, but like on really gnarly trees and stuff. Things. Yeah. So all the buildings are raised up.
And so he's like, oh, I have to go, I'm going to go find my old Mahjong or whatever.
Mahjong.
So I'm going to wear this weird helmet, and everybody's going to think I'm just on patrol.
Even though he's wearing a vest that he stole, and everybody should probably recognize that vest as being something
and then
that
he shouldn't have. Is like, no, hey, Cloak, go find Shade.
Go find Shade.
And Cloak?
And he wants him to kill
Mahjong,
too.
Yes.
So he basically sends this Cloak.
This guy's named Cloak, and basically he can make himself invisible. But he, I don't know if this is his suit or what, he is just like a bunch of fucking ovals stuck together.
He's literally, yeah, it's literally just a bunch of like...
Like, if you were going to make... Like, this guy would be the easiest guy to make out of, like, construction paper. You know how, like, when you were a kid, they're like, here, make a skeleton using construction paper and these brads?
Yeah.
That's what he looks like.
Yeah, you can pretty much make him like this.
Yeah, and you're just like, put holes in him and just, like, stick him together because his joints move. Isn't it creepy? And then that's what he looks like.
Yeah, and now Melu's also thinking, like, well, maybe there's some reason why Shade went to the Earth.
Yeah.
Because he's trying...
Well, he said something to her.
Because she's mentioned the name Kempo.
Yeah.
But I guess Kempo is an alias for somebody that was...
Well, she deduces, because she's like, he says the name Kempo like I'm supposed to know it, and I don't. And she's like, but wait, maybe I know the person, I just don't know what the alias is.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go, like, to his Shade's files and, like, look through and see if I can find a mention of this Kempo person.
Right.
Which I'm assuming is just another, like, one of the Marx brothers.
Kempo Marx.
Yeah.
she's like, no, I found Chico Marx.
It's Kempo Marx. Yeah.
So, he... Kempo Marx. Anyways,
I'm trying to remember all their names. Wasn't there, like, a Schlepp?
That's Three Stooges. That's Shemp.
No, wait. There was a bunch of Marx brothers.
There's Groucho. There's Beppo.
Yeah, see? That's what I mean.
Beppo de Beppo.
Kemp.
I should know this because Gilbert Gottfried's podcast that I edit constantly talks about these sort of things, and I don't know them. I should. If Gilbert was here, he would...
he'd know.
He would know. Frank Santo Padre would know.
Harpo Marx.
Harpo.
Yeah, see?
I can forget Harpo.
I'm not wrong. Harpo, Groucho, Zeppo, Gummo. Or Gummo.
I didn't say you were wrong.
Oh, wow, so Kempo.
Kempo!
Kempo Marx.
He's a cousin. He's the Meta cousin. Metan cousin.
Metan.
Because it's the world of Meta.
I know. And they call themselves Metans.
Metans! Metay! We're on the planet. Do they pronounce the planet Metay?
Sure.
Anyways.
Kempo.
Anyway, so...
She goes off to, like, watch some Marx Brothers comedy, whatever.
Pretty much. And then we're back at the security detail where Shade's supposed to be...
Watch Dark Duck Soup.
Duck Soup, yes. That's a callback to our very first podcast.
Yeah, it is.
Haven't seen it, that we did two, three episodes of.
I think we did four? Did we do four?
No, I think we only made it to three.
Oh, yeah, it was hard. We were talking about movies we'd never seen, but everybody said we were supposed to, and Duck Soup was actually one that we did.
Yeah, we did Duck Soup.
I mean, it was a really hard podcast to get through, just in general.
Not like this one. This one's easy.
Not for the listener.
So, we've been talking about almost 20 minutes worth of Shade the Changing Man from 1976. But more than, we have spent more time, this is the thing.
No one has talked this much about Shade the Changing
Man. No one has talked, some of the issues we talked about, nobody has talked about that more than us. I think we were holding the record. Like, it's ridiculous. Had in 90 or whenever these books were written, and somebody would be like, man, I hope somebody talks about this. Yeah. Like this, you know. Talked about this more than 20 minutes. It's like, well, we're doing it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're making you proud.
At least this version of Shade, not like the Vertigo version.
Not the Vertigo version or the New 52 version, because he did jump to 52. Yeah. So, anyways,
I'm sure he sucked then, too. At least in the New 52. Yeah.
So, anyway, so we're back at that security building. Yeah. Or the security building where Shade's supposed to meet with Bajan. And Cloak's in there. And it's funny because Cloak's kind of like, first of all, I don't know what the fuck is going on here.
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm like, is that supposed to be a person?
It is like, I'm like, how is he? Like, is he just literally just a bunch of shapes flopping around?
Yeah.
Like, how? I guess it's a person.
Like everybody else looks like a person. Why is he the only one on the planet who's like just a bunch of shapes?
So he sees like just security guards walking around. He's like, ha ha, the security guards walking right by me. Ha ha. He's just like laughing. Like, this is
I know, but I'm like, your name is Cloak. Like, you shouldn't be surprised.
Like, you should. Why are you spending all this time just thinking about how great you are?
Yeah, that's
like,
all he does is he has thought bubbles. He's a little ridiculous.
So, Shade
flies in,
and he's hanging out. He surprises. let's just jump through this, because, okay, so his girl, so his lady friend.
She's trying to figure that shit out with Kenpo.
Yeah, lady friend's watching.
Duck Soup.
Duck Soup, and she realizes that Kenpo is actually Lieutenant Emp or something, who is Shade's reporting officer, and
he's like, wait a second, oh, wait, something's going on with that. So she, like, makes a connection,
and Cloak shows up in
Bajan's office,
and so does Shade at the same time.
Yeah, and Shade's trying to shake this guy down, and Cloak's like, ha, two for the price of one. And he already knows that it's Shade, even though he can't see his face. I don't know.
Yeah.
And so Cloak starts attacking them. And he has some sort of, like, electro-shocky things. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, some sort of, like, because he wants, basically, Bajan to, like, clear his name, Shade's...
No, not Shade doesn't have shocky things. I'm talking about Cloak.
I know, but I'm saying I'm just explaining, like, so Shade wants Bajan to clear his name on tape, but Cloak is there to kill both of them, so Cloak shoots both of them with some sort of electric charge.
Yeah.
And it kills Bajan. Kills Bajan, but Shade, wearing his stupid helmet,
Lives. Yeah.
And
then Cloak leaves for some reason.
Well, how the hell is he fighting him? It's just,
that's the thing. He's like, oh, I can't see you, but I can feel you, which actually, this kind of ties into our next comic book, too.
Oh, yeah.
Surprisingly. And so they, like, fight, and then something happens. What happens here?
An alarm goes off.
Oh, is that why he ran? If no one can see him, why did he leave?
I don't know how you can see him here.
Well, let's say he can't. He says, I can't. I feel you. Isn't that what he says?
Anything I can feel, I can hit.
Yeah, that's the thing. So he's like, well, I'm going to fight you anyway because I can feel you. So I'm going to hit you. But then the alarm goes off and Cloak's like, oh no, someone might see me even though I'm invisible. And I haven't spoken out loud. And he leaves.
Well, he can leave anyways, because basically, you know, if somebody shows up and starts shooting, you know, he might get hit. So, yeah.
Well, there's also, this is one of my favorite parts up here, is Cloak is thinking, he says, he's protected by a force field, but now that his helmet's off, my electro pads will fry his brain. Isn't that funny? Ha ha ha!
Not that funny, bro.
I was like, oh, I don't know if that's funny. But
why is he thinking that? It's not like he's saying like it's funny. Like he's just running through material in his own head.
Yeah, he's working on his act. He's like, this is gonna go into my type five.
I'm gonna do my type five, my fried brains. All right. Can't wait to get to the met an open mic after this at the Medan Chuckle Hut. Medan Chuckle Hut.
So, Cloak leaves, and Shade, who has the worst fucking timing.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, oh, no, you're dead. Now I have no evidence. And, of course, who walks in to find him crouched over a dead body?
But
his girlfriend.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Who already caught him, she thinks, blowing up her parents.
Yeah. And this girl's like, you killed him! You killed this guy! Now you killed my parents! And
she really jumps to conclusions.
Oh, yeah. She
really does.
Yeah,
she's not the best at this.
So he starts zip-zapping around the building. They're trying to grab him.
And, like, all these people are trying to get him.
Yeah.
And so he's, like, you know, wandering around. And then, like, bald dude is just like,
it's funny because, again, this girl's just like, vengeance!
But yeah, I don't really know why she wants vengeance. It's still, I'm a little confused.
Because now he's just killing people. And she's like, he's killing everybody, we have to stop him. And then Bald dude. Is like, yeah, so basically, I don't know, he says, thanks to Shade, our fellow crime czars will be soon back among us because they're thinning out the security. That's right, because he was in the building where all the crime people are.
Yeah.
And now they're all looking for him because apparently, you know, they only have, you know, the whole police force needs to look for this one guy.
Yep.
I mean, he's fucking up pretty bad, so understandably.
Yeah.
But, and yeah, and we leave with Shade. He's stuck in a tree.
Yeah, he's hiding in a pink plant.
Pink tree. Nobody will find me in this pink tree.
No.
And
so he's like, oh no, how am I ever gonna get out of this tree?
And that's it.
That's it.
For Shade the Changing Man number 3 from October 1977.
Yes. This actually the letters page in this comic book is called The Meta Zone.
Mysterious messages to the Meta Zone.
Which I think is kind of fun.
Meta. Sadly, this does not feature Meta World Peace.
Oh.
Kind of upset about that. Would have liked for him to show up here. This is actually fun. Did you read this bit here?
No.
And they have, like, you know, this is back when they used to have kind of like a bullpen. Well, they have, like, they've always had this. But, like, in the kind of, like, the bullpen section. Of not the letters page, but the bullpen section of DC here is talking about stuff that's coming up. And Superman 316, Metallo's back, but is he the cause of the heart attack that crippled Superman? I don't know. But then you get into a little section here for Lola Barnett's comic world. I don't know who she is. Apparently, she's an insider. She is telling us that Richard Dragon, Kung Fu Fighter, and ISIS will be canceled. And then apparently she's announcing how Julius Schwartz has lined up a symposium of the people who've worked on Superman over the years, and it'll appear in the Superman Annual out next month. The topic, should Superman marry Lois Lane? Oh, I bet that went swimmingly. I bet it was a bunch of like, yeah, he needs somebody to make him a sandwich, or whatever. Because it's the 70s, and let's get a bunch of old men to talk about if Superman should get married.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
you should.
Yeah. So that's Shade the Changing Man.
That's a weird comic.
It's a weird comic. Would you read the next issue of this?
Sure, what the hell.
Yeah,
why not? I mean, like I said, I don't really understand what the fuck Shade is all about. Maybe I would understand if I read more.
Well, the good thing about this series, because I would probably read it too. I might even have it. Actually, I don't think I don't. I think I have the first one, and I have this one. But there's only like 6 issues.
Yeah, so it's not long.
Because this came around the DC time of the DC implosion. So it was kind of like a thing where it was like, you know what? Nobody really cares about this book anyway, so
right.
We'll just get rid of it.
Right.
But, you know, and Shade went on to show up on other stuff, so. Yeah, so I don't know. I'd check it out.
Sure.
If anything to know or understand more about his big face. Like, because he doesn't really use that in this.
No, part. He only uses his big hands.
He only uses his big force field hands. But he doesn't.
Having the big face.
Yeah, and they're like, I want to see that actually happen so people can be like, oh, big face, you know? And see how it actually works. Like, I like when I get to see things.
Yeah.
That's my goal in life.
Would see stuff, just anything in general.
Oh, look at that. A blue car.
That dog has a puffy tail.
How much more can we go with these Simpsons jokes? Probably all day.
Oh my god, forever.
Forever.
There's always an appropriate Simpsons joke.
There is. All right, that's Shade. We'll be back. Okay, we're back here on the Worst Collection Ever, here on Sideshow Network. We are back with yet another selection from our books.
Yep.
And this is our Marvel selection. It is Thunderstrike.
Oh, shit.
Number 12 from September
1994.
Mm-hmm. For those of you not familiar with Thunderstrike, he is a guy who helped Thor once.
He's Discount Thor.
He's Discount Thor. Basically.
That's what he is. He's Discount Thor.
His origin, which probably, if you watch comic, I feel like I'm talking down to people when I say, here's the origin of this character.
It's well,
like,
I don't know the origin of this character.
But I get to explain it to you, so it's fun.
Yeah. Tell me about it. Because can I guess?
Go.
Thor took a shit. and it fell down from Asgard, and it hit that guy in the face. And it gave him knockoff Thor powers. How close am I? Yes?
Asgardian toilet malfunction.
Yeah, that was an Asgardian toilet. It overflowed. And it landed on...
Too much mead.
And it landed on this poor
schlub. Too much yak meat.
It landed on this poor schlub, and now he has Discount Thor powers.
He has... Poor him.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Basically what happened was Eric Masterson is an architect, and he, I don't know exactly how it happened, but he helped Thor, he grabbed Thor's hammer when Thor, somehow.
Yeah,
and
he was worthy.
He was worthy, apparently, and he was able to help Thor.
Uh-huh.
And he got injured during this, so Thor said, hey, can I merge with this guy to make sure he lives? And he, you know, that's what he does. And somehow, I don't know. Just recalling from what I read, but basically, you know, eventually something happens where he is able to get, you know, Odin. He convinced Odin to be like, hey, this guy's pretty cool. You should kind of like make him into like a mini me.
Mm.
You know, instead of giving him a hammer, give him a mace called Thunderstrike. And basically it works the same way as Thor does when he's in his civilian identity. Because when he's Eric Masterson architect guy, but when he taps his stick,
he becomes Thunderstrike.
He becomes Thunderstrike and he grows a sweet Chris Hemsworth beard.
I really
And he gets an earring! Look at that!
I like my origin story better. I think it's much more involved. and interesting.
Now I can't unsee that earring.
Yeah, I never noticed it before. Thanks
a lot.
But
now that
I've... Thanks a lot. Like, now we all have to look at it.
Now it's here.
We have to look at his one lightning bolt earring. Like he's in a fucking 80s hair metal band.
He might as well be.
So
but he's going on tour with Firehouse this month.
So he's having a bad day.
Apparently he's having a bad day.
That's
imagine lots of bad days.
On. He's having a bad day because he's standing look at this building that has a big old white swirl on it.
It has a big old white swirl on it. Now, here's the thing, though, because apparently it's like, oh, no, this white swirl means it's been blotted out. But it just looks like a big paint of white.
Yeah, it just looks like someone... I mean, I was contemplating the ridiculousness of this villain, but we'll talk about that when we get there.
Yeah.
So it looks like there's a big white swirl, and he's like, oh, it's been blotted out. You're like, no, you can't see through it. It just has white paint on it.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, maybe the comic book in their universe, you can see through it. I don't know, whatever.
They're like, hey, we'll totally save on color this month.
Yeah, oh yeah, they were thrilled to make this villain a thing. And really pissed off it didn't work very well, because think of all the money they could have saved. And so he's like, I'm going to go fly off with my mace and go see what's going on, but I'm sorry. I have a problem with him referring to this as a mace. Now, I realize there are different kinds of maces.
Yeah.
Usually they have some sort of spiky thing on them, or like...
They're attached
flange,
to a chain.
Like a flange thing. Because I already Googled these, and they always have like some sort of like bladey, spike, flangey thing. That just looks like another fucking hammer.
It does. It looks like a mallet more of anything. Like
if you want to call something
mallet.
A mace, you get me a fucking blade, sticky outie, or some spikes on that thing.
Nah.
Or you know, spikes or get the fuck out, basically.
Nah.
Boo.
Boo worms.
So we go inside.
We go inside to this building
and the cops are like, hey man, villain guy, stop trying to threaten everybody or we'll have to kill you. And he's like, no, I'm trying to threaten everybody. I want you all dead. And the cops are like, oh. And then they get, like, whited out.
They get whited out and they're like, where'd our bodies go? But their bodies are still there because apparently you can get whited out, but you can still feel it. So basically
it's
just looks...
like, and I think they explain it later, but like... you don't really get whited out. It's
right.
Just, it's an optical illusion.
Yeah.
Basically.
You're still there, though.
Everything is still there. It just doesn't look like you're there. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't go to another dimension. It's basically just a camouflage of sorts. Basically, he shoots you he's just shooting people with white paint.
Pretty much.
You know, it's just, that's just what he is. He's shooting people with white paint that's really good white paint.
Yeah, so he, like, he's trying to get to the CEO of this... I guess it's an airline.
So, so basically what happens is he's this guy who is a... His name is White Out.
Yeah.
With a Y.
Yeah, because that's how he spells his last name.
Especially he spells his last name, and also it's the 90s.
Right.
So, you know, and extreme.
I had to think... He calls himself White Out, which is why, obviously, haha, he's making people get whited out. But I had to think that, like, of... the very specific time period that this villain could exist in. Because he can't exist before Whiteout is invented.
Yeah.
Obviously. And really, if you made him today, he'd be kind of pointless because barely anybody uses Whiteout anymore.
Yeah.
Since things are all on our computers
and
stuff.
It's all
digitally
processed.
So this is a... He's a weird... It's just, and not only that, but it's really a dumb concept for a villain.
Well, yeah. Yeah,
but yeah, it is of its moment, I suppose.
He's a man of his time.
Yes, he is.
And he basically looks like a a whited out Spider-Man.
Yeah, kind of.
With like a clunky outfit.
Yeah.
And lots of pouches. He has pouches.
Oh man, well, it's the 90s.
Look at those pouches.
It's the 90s. Gotta have
He has like
pouches.
Giant saddlebags.
Where else is he going to put the white out?
So he goes to this, he's at Skyways Express, which is like
An airline.
And basically the story is this guy, he's a government operative, or government, like, scientist or something, and he's creating myth camouflage. And he decided to treat his family, just his family, not him.
Yeah, he's not going.
His family to go to Disneyland, or whatever. Disney World.
Yep. And the plane goes down.
And the plane goes down. And he blames the brass in charge of this airline company for that because, you know, it's because even though he says, he's like, oh, it was pilot error, but the pilot's dead, so I'm going to kill everybody here.
Right, I got to blame somebody.
And I'm going to use my stupid suit to do it.
Yeah. And so Thunderstrike shows up and he's like, because, like, this guy walks into the brass, like, CEO's office, and he's like, you're going to pay for this thing that went down 3 years ago. And the guy's like, I've only been here, like, a year and a half. Like, I wasn't even here when that happened. And Thunderstrike's like, you heard the man. Like, you know, don't hurt him or whatever.
And this guy's like, you know, Whiteout's like, family! And apparently...
And he's like, you wouldn't understand what it's like to lose the people that you love. And then, like, of course, Thunderstrike has, like, a flashback.
Before we get to that. Earring.
he has a flashback.
I can't unsee it.
No, I know. So basically he flashes back to like having lunch with, I guess, his ex-wife, who's dressed like Madonna from the music video. Not music video, but the music video.
She's dressed in like, but all red.
Yeah.
She's literally
people, but yeah, she looks like Madonna in that video.
She's dressed like literally in all red. Like she's
all
a red
like
cowboy
fucking
hat.
Red gloves.
Red, she's a blonde. It's It's a lot.
Yeah, and she's like, I guess she's dating a baseball player or somebody. Some sports player, because he's getting traded.
You make it traded from New York, because they're in New York.
Somewhere in L.A.
You make it traded to the West Coast, to L.A. And they're like...
And she's going to take the kid. And he's like, you can't take the kid. And she's like, well, I can. You know, I'm married to this guy, and I have full custody, whatever. So then we're back in the office, and...
He does get so Whiteout waits out.
Waits him out,
Thunderstrike. And basically, though, Whiteout is able to, or Thunderstrike is able to kind of figure out, because you can't see you can't see Thunderstrike's arm, but no. He knows it's there because he can feel it.
Right, because he says, I can still feel my mace gripped within my left hand. So this guy knows that these parts of his body aren't gone.
So this is funny.
So this is what gets really stupid in the rest of the book.
Well, here's the funny thing. So that's actually a pretty smart deduction.
Yeah.
Now, in the Marvel Wiki, it has I don't know what the rating system is like, or what the scale is, but his intelligence is listed at a 2.
Two.
But that's pretty smart.
He's an architect. Don't you have to be smart to be an architect?
Yeah. I don't know. Is two supposed to be high?
I don't know. I don't know how it works.
He's an architect. He's an architect. Yeah. No kidding.
I mean, like George Costanza wishes he was him.
George Costanza wishes he was the strike man.
Yeah.
With his earrings.
Yeah.
So
that'd be great. Why doesn't George Costanza have one of those earrings?
If he just
that would have made Seinfeld just a completely different show.
Wasn't that an episode where did they never do an episode where somebody just showed up with an earring and they're like, you got an earring? What, you got an earring? Jerry, I don't know, I got an earring. Hello, Jerry, you have an earring. Yeah, like that was my one man Seinfeld show.
I heard that was great, babe. It was really, really good.
I don't know how to do Elaine. Oh, is he's earring worthy. There we go. There's like
fun fact about that Spongeworthy episode, because as you know, I reviewed the Gilmore Girls.
It has Bob Odenkirk in it. Yes.
Besides that, the Spongeworthy, where she's trying to decide if that one guy is Spongeworthy, is actually the guy who plays Luke on Gilmore Girls.
Who? But Bob Odenkirk?
No. The one of the guys she's trying to figure out if he's Spongeworthy.
Oh, yeah, no.
He's in that episode, and then Lauren Graham plays a Seinfeld love interest, like, another time.
Really?
Yeah.
He's had a lot of chips.
These fun things that I've learned. Gilmore Girls.
Well, how about that?
Yeah, anyway, so he gets whited out, and so he's like, I'm going to punch this guy in the face. So he does.
He tries to jump through, he misses.
Oh, he misses.
And falls through a building.
Well, that's what happens when you have a big fucking hammer that leads you everywhere.
Oh, there's Eric again!
I did not notice it.
Oh, God, it's everywhere.
So he, puts a big fucking crater in the pavement. Because
he's got a big, dense body, like Thor.
Yeah, he's dense. He probably puts grooves into furniture when he sits on them.
That's a problem I have.
And he's just very dense. And so he's saved from getting, a car, a big old truck almost runs him over. And he's saved by a pink robot lady.
Her name is Stellaris.
And she's like, hey, Blondie. She calls him Blondie. And she's got these, ridiculous, bolt-on tits.
I know. I like that the armor has to have...
It has to have tits.
Perky breasts.
Horrible tits, too, because,
Because does she fit each breast
in there? That's what I'm trying to figure out. How do you do that? Is it, putting your boobs into an ice cube tray?
I know.
Like indents and just, shove. Oh, shove.
My breast is not fully into this ice cube tray.
Yeah, how does that even work? I bet it's, sweaty in there. And, what if your cup size is much bigger than the armor?
Oh, it's probably very uncomfortable.
Yeah, that would be a pain.
Anyway, So she's
she
helps him out.
She's oh, yeah, I saw that guy in the white suit fly away. He's like, why didn't you stop him? And he's like, well, because I didn't want you to get run over by this car. And he's like, oh, well, that's a good point.
It wouldn't matter, though, because the car would have just derailed on his face anyways.
I was going to say, he's not going to die. So she's like, all right,
he already fell from the fucking sky.
Yeah. Yeah, and he lived. He fell at least, 35 stories.
Yeah.
And he's fine.
Yeah.
So that little trailer truck wouldn't have hurt him at all. And so she's like, okay, well, I'm out. Bye. And that's it. She just flies away.
And as she's flying away, Blood Axe. This guy's name is Blood Axe.
Yeah. Blood Axe is pretty sweet.
Blood Axe is pretty sweet. And there's actually a secret about this person.
Yeah.
I could reveal later on.
All right. Well, later on. So Blood Axe is watching this whole thing go down. And then
so he goes back home and he goes back to his apartment.
Where he lives with his lawyer?
Yes.
Yeah,
he's a lawyer slash buddy.
Slash
she's
roommate.
A lawyer. He's a blonde. She's a black woman lawyer. He's a white blonde architect. And they're looking for a
third roommate.
Third roommate.
Yeah.
And he's kvetching about
His kid.
He's like, my son!
And she's like, well, as your lawyer, I'll, like, look at the papers. Because, you know, she's like, the triad might not happen, you know? Like, this is just a possibility. Especially, apparently this guy did really shitty last year, too.
Sports!
Whatever.
Yeah, trying to reason with sports, which is like, yeah, all right, just get up. Whatever.
Yeah, so she's like, okay, I gotta go to, you know, dinner with so-and-so, but I'll be back later.
And he's like, you know, he's just kind of he's stressed out.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know what? I'm gonna call this girl that I think I like.
And see if she wants to go out with me.
And
she doesn't because she's watching the Flintstones.
This which is fantastic.
Yeah.
I love this. And she ices him. Well, there's a reason why. I know why.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it has nothing to do with her wanting to watch the Flintstones.
Well, but that's what it should be.
But that's what you would infer that as.
Yeah, because she's watching the Flintstones.
A color palette swapped Flintstones, by the way. Because for some reason, Fred, instead of having an orange
outfit, yellow.
He's banana yellow. And
Barney is orange.
Barney is orange.
Yeah.
And it's just like, for some reason, it's just a random Flintstones.
I always thought my dad kind of looks like Fred Flintstone.
He does.
Yeah. So, yeah, but, like, I like to think that there was, like, a really great Flintstones marathon on, and she's, like, a huge Flintstones fangirl.
She's like, yabba dabba, no.
Yeah, so she's like, can't go out, bro.
Yeah, so she was like, it's a fake, because she called
you. In her kitchen is, like, a bird garbage disposal who's thinking, like, it's a living.
Not getting laid tonight. But, yeah, she's like, I already have plans, maybe I'll give you a call, which, ouch, because girls never call guys. Unless if, like, they're actually, like...
I've got guys.
The rare instance.
I've called guys.
To call them on a date, to be like, you know, if you were in a situation where a guy called you and you're like, hey, I got plans, but I'll call you next week, would you actually call that guy back?
I would text him.
Okay, but say, this is before, it's the 90s.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, probably. If I said I'll call you, like, later and I actually really like that guy... And I wanted to, like, connect, and I told him I'd call, I would call.
That's if you really liked him. I don't, you know, obvious, for obvious reasons, as we find out later in the series, there's a reason why she doesn't call him back. She instead stays with some stones. However, this does feel like the story of my life, pre-meeting you.
Well, no one ever called me, really, so I never had the opportunity to, like, tell them I'd call them back at different times.
I've had many excuses in my life. I've had girls tell me that they have to watch TV then go out.
Did any of them ever say that they have to watch the Flintstones?
No, usually it was like Friends or
Friends.
Another, yeah, friend. One was Friends, another one was Jordan's Crossing.
Oh my God, that was a show.
Yeah, that was a show, and I got freezed out for that.
Well, you know, is that really a bad thing?
Why? We're here now.
Well, now, I know, but, like, back in the day, like, did you really want to date somebody who likes Jordan's Crossing?
I didn't have an opinion about the show either way.
Okay.
It wasn't like she was watching, like, you know, if this was, like, you know, Big Bang Theory. I guess I'd probably be okay with that.
Yeah.
Nah.
To each their own, I mean.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm just saying, like, I just did the principle of it made me very embarrassed as a young man.
Well, I can tell you that there was a time where there was a guy that I did like, and he was like, hey, you should call me at X time, and I did, and then he was like, I have to go, I'll call you back later, and he never called me back.
Yeah, that would happen to me a lot, too.
That happened to me, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why we're together.
Yeah.
Because we both called at the right time. And we were like, hey, you answer the phone.
You were actually more happy that I showed up on time.
Yes.
To our first date.
Yes. How great are you?
You know what was really funny is that was late for me, because usually I'm early.
Oh, you're on time.
No. Anyway, this is very fascinating for everybody's
life. Yeah, please, everybody, be very excited for this. And anyways, it just happens that Eric...
Oh, he was also watching
Flintstones. Flintstones, too.
Yeah, and then he, like, changes over from the Flintstones to the news, like an adult...
Well, he has a kid.
Yeah.
So maybe the kid was just constantly watching Flintstones.
Fair enough. And so...
The Flintstones are huge faces.
Yeah, and they're like, something's going on at the airport. It's like a big white dome over it.
Well, no, they just say it's a meteorological phenomenon. He's like, well, planes and my wife, ex-wife, it's probably something to do with all the shit that I'm dealing with. So
I'm going to go there.
I'm going to go there.
So he does. And Whiteout has whited out a big...
He's constantly like... So because it comes out of his armor, I feel like.
Yeah, I guess.
And he just kind of radiates into like this big bubble. And it's like this big white shroud that's kind of just like keeping everything out of existence.
I guess.
And, yeah.
Wouldn't if something... Like, if there was nothing, wouldn't it just be black?
Well, no, it's just white.
But he's saying, like, oh, it's been, like, whited out of existence. Like, I don't know. I guess that's a question. Like, if the Earth's ceased to exist...
Right.
Would there be a big white spot where we used to be, or just black spot? Or just a bunch of big fucking debris?
It would just be a bunch of debris, because the Earth would explode.
Yeah, that's probably more like
it. Right, but here's the thing. So if this were to happen to us, like, right now, we would just see white in front of our face. We wouldn't be able to see anything. Our eyes would just see white. Even though everything is still here, like this comic book I'm holding right now.
But I would still be able to see white.
But you would just see white. Like, everything would just be as white as, like, this picture.
I know.
This bubble.
Shouldn't it be black?
No, it's white.
No, I know, but I'm saying, like, if you were to pick a color to represent nothingness, what color would you pick? White or black?
But the guy's name is not Blackout.
I don't care.
It's Whiteout with a Y.
I'm saying that if I were to pick a color to represent nothingness, it's not going to be white.
It doesn't matter what he's colored. I'm talking about this. It doesn't matter. What?
I just feel that it was the wrong color choice.
No, you're right. I'm just saying it doesn't matter, though, because
I realize
guy,
it doesn't matter.
They needed a villain with an extreme-sounding name.
I know. And so they could all... Yeah, I get it. Whiteout.
Whiteout.
White. White. So there's this, like, a plane, like, trying to taxi, and they just, like, go into the white thing, and they're like, oh, my God, all I see is white. Oh, wait, except this one dude... He must be, like, part of the ground crew heading towards him.
Of course he is, sure.
And then they're like, oh my God, what happened to our plane? It's all gone.
What happened to our passengers? Even though you can still see these people.
Right, and so then Thunderstrike throws his mace hammer at Whiteout.
Right. Throws it and then...
Which I guess that saves the pilot, because we never hear anything else from the pilot or the plane.
Well, they're still sitting in this plane.
Yeah, so they're fine.
Right.
Eh.
But, so he's, so he throws, like, flash bombs, and then, his ex-wife,
Madonna.
Her Madonna. Yeah, she does look like Madonna, actually.
She looks like Madonna.
She looks just like Madonna.
Yep.
Just all red.
From Music.
Music brings a, yeah, remember, what's his face, Sacha Baron Cohen's in that video?
Yes, he is. He's their limo driver.
He's Ali G as their limo driver. Yeah.
Man, that was a thing.
Those are good times back then.
Yep. Anyway.
Unlike this time.
No. I don't know who this burly fuck is. Is that her boyfriend?
That's the boyfriend. That's the football baseball player.
Football baseball guy?
He's Mark Gastineau from the New York Jets.
Okay. He's just a burly... He's got a mullet, and he's burly.
He is a football player, so he has a football on his arm.
I see. There's a football on his jacket. And so...
Well, I haven't been looking for his earring.
Oh, well, good. Stop looking for a stupid earring. It upsets you when you see it. So...
Oh, it'll come back. Don't worry. So he's... okay. So he kind of gets... So after he got flashbulbs thrown in his eyes by Whiteout...
Yeah.
He is ready to fight again, and Whiteout throws some sort of explosive thing...
Yes.
...at...
The engine.
Plane, but here's the thing.
I'm assuming that's the plane that they were just in front of.
But here's my question. Here's the thing, too, is apparently if you throw something or if you hit something, then, like, it comes back.
Wait. Oh, I get it. So if you hit something, it stops being all white and you can see it again.
Okay. So what happens here is he throws some sort of explosive at this... At this plane, and he knocks off one of the engines, and it falls on Thunderstrike.
Yeah.
And he's all ha, betrayed. You betrayed. You know, Skyways betrayed me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
This sounds terrible, but like
nope.
It sucks. No.
I already know it's not gonna sound terrible. Go on.
It sucks that your family died.
Mm-hmm.
But just going around being like, it's like, you guys did this on purpose. Nah, you know. It's like, dude, take him to court.
Yeah, you know? that's kind of my point, if that's a thing. That's what I don't understand. So I was thinking about that too, because I'm like, all right, I'm really sorry that this happened to your family.
Yeah, it's awful.
But you know what doesn't make it better? Killing a whole shit ton of people who also have family who are now going to feel the same way you do.
But he doesn't. He's like, I don't care about those people. Just me. And it's like,
Narrow-minded and short-sighted can you be? Because, like, you're killing, like, there's a bunch of innocent people on this plane that you're, like, trying to explode. Who might be children, who have fathers and mothers and shit, and you're like, fuck them, haha, I want vengeance. And I'm like, how does killing a shit ton of people make you feel better?
Yeah.
Like, get some counseling, bro.
Well, but that did not,
Striking Guy gets...
There it is again!
His earring does not get whited out.
His earring does not get whited out.
His entire body does, but not his head is just floating, like, on a panel.
Yeah, he gets whited.
And he's like, I don't exist. And this is what also
it's just
bothered
like a, it's,
me.
It's just, what?
Well, this bothered me, because he's like, oh my god, I don't exist, my body is gone. And I'm like, you already determined, like, on page 4 of this book.
Yes.
That you could feel everything, so you knew that you still existed, even if you couldn't see yourself.
Right.
But here we are now with, I don't exist. I'm like, did you forget?
Did you forget
what happened last time you fought this guy?
Maybe it is appropriate that his intelligence is only 2.
Yeah.
Because this guy's an idiot.
And then he, like, falls down, or at least his head falls.
Well, his body falls.
Right. And so that's the thing. He's like, oh, it's just an optical illusion. I have to reorient myself. And I'm like, so you standing on the ground, feet on the ground, which you can still feel, you still couldn't fucking tell that the ground was below you.
Right.
And the sky was above you. You had to fall to the ground and go, okay, this is down. If I lay on my back and point my stupid hammer thing up in the air, I can... like, stop his powers with my magical hammer mace thing.
Right.
This guy's dumb.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah. So, intelligence 2, yes.
The stupidest architect.
That'd be a great miniseries. Marvel's The Stupidest Architect.
The Stupidest Architect, could that be,
like, Simon Pegg doing that?
It's like, I forgot about this. I'm just...
I'm dumb. Anyways, so he uses his mace to call upon some lightning.
To Pwakapoom.
Pwakapoom!
And, yeah, so he lightnings it.
Lightnings up this dome of whiteness. It shorts out Whiteout's deal.
Yeah.
Whiteout goes to shoot him with his stun gun.
Which smashes.
Which
leads to my favorite panel of the book.
Oh. You want to read that?
Yeah. So he smashes the panel, and then Thunderstrike says, please stop threatening me. I'm tired of smashing things. And I'm like, yeah, same. That's how I feel.
As his earring's flapping in the wind.
Yeah, his earring, like, flappy flies.
I can't unsee it.
I know. It's kind of like the Misfits from Gem and the Holograms would really like
that. Yes.
It's like a lightning bolt.
Oh, you can even see it here.
He gives this guy a speech, like a rousing speech here as poor Whiteout is all like curl up in a ball.
He's like, I lost my job, I lost a family, I can't concentrate on my career now because I'm sad.
Because I need to see a fucking counselor, but instead I decided to kill a bunch of people. I'm cool. Anyway, continue.
And, you know, Thunderstrike... is like, well, you know, no one said life's easy, you know, and he's basically giving him, like, you know, it's like the speech from Rocky IV.
Yeah.
If you could change, I could change, we could all change, whatever.
Yeah.
So he's just kind of...
He's like, and I guess it says, like, there's a little box there that says, like, oh, he looked up.
He was going to give, you know, yeah, the guy looks up and you could see that there's some compassion
and
or whatever.
There's hope in his eyes. Like, he thinks, like, things will get better.
Find a way to, you know, like that's the strikey. It's like, no one ever said life is easy, and it certainly isn't fair, but you owe it to yourself and the memory of your family to find the way to live the fullest life you can.
Yeah.
And just about before this guy goes, you know what, you're right, he gets murdered.
Yep.
By... Death Axe.
Yeah.
Blood Axe.
Blood Axe. Death Axe is good.
Death Axe. Blood Axe is better.
So he just, like, chops him right in half.
Does he chop him, or does he shoot him with, like, his something off of his axe?
Is his axe, it looks like an axe, but it's really, like, a laser gun.
Well, it's an axe. It's like Thor can shoot lightning out of his axe. Or of his hammer.
That just defeats the purpose of an axe. Like, if your axe can shoot lasers out of it, why just not have it be, like, a, you know, like a round thing? Why does it have to be an axe? I mean, axes are cool.
Well, this guy gets killed, because fuck this guy.
Well, yeah, fuck that guy.
Fuck anyway. White out. And then there's his earring again. There's Thunderstrike's earring.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
What the hell, Blood Axe?
And he calls, but this was my favorite thing, because he calls him a cancer. He says, Blood Axe, you're a cancer. And I would have to say that when you had cancer, that had the mass in your chest come back looking like Blood Axe, that would have been kind of fucking cool.
It was a skull?
Yeah, well, no, if it was just like a dude holding a big old fucking axe with like spikes on his shoulders, we'd be like, well, that's actually kind of awesome.
How horrible, but how awesome would have been if I would have gotten like scans and they're like, okay, this is what your mask looks like, and it looks like a fucking skull.
No, not just a skull, but like a dude wearing like skull knee pads.
No, I understand, but I'm saying just in general, if it was a skull.
That would have been terrifying.
It would have been terrifying.
Or maybe it really would have been the conjoined twin, because that's what I was cheering for. When we found out there was a mask, I was like, conjoined twin! You know, please let it be a twin that you absorbed in the womb and no one ever knew about. But alas, it was not. I was kind of bummed out about that.
Oh, me too. I wasn't so much bummed about having a like threatening disease, but more about
not having a conjoined twin.
Not having a conjoined twin inside my body. Yeah, that was that was some bullshit.
Yeah, what the hell?
Anyway.
So he's like, I'm gonna fight you, Blood Axe.
That was very awkward of you to bring that up, but I appreciate it.
I'm sorry. Well, you thought I just was like, hey, what if all cancer looked like Blood Axe?
Oh, sadness.
I'm sorry, would you like to cut that?
No, okay. We're gonna leave this all in. All
right.
I shouldn't be laughing so much, but it feels good.
Well, it's gallows humor.
It's what?
Gallows humor.
Who's gallows?
No, it's called gallows humor. It's when you joke about things that are sad and depressing and stuff.
I think that's in my entire au revoir.
Well, yeah, that's all. A lot of people do it, but
anyways, so
he's like, I'm gonna fight you, and he like goes to jump on him, but for some reason, like Blood Axe has like a portal thing,
and he phases away,
and he just disappears.
Yeah, so that's it for Blood Axe.
Yeah,
and then we go back to the apartment.
Oh yeah, because he's got to meet like the new roommate,
right? And his lawyer woman.
She's like, oh, hey, where are
with
you?
The highest 90s pants ever.
Oh, yeah, she got mom jeans.
Mom jeans. I think it's Michelle Obama.
It's Michelle Obama wearing mom jeans?
Yeah. Well, it's the 90s. It could be her.
Sure.
I think it's her.
Yeah, she was in a comic book for a while.
Obama, did you know your wife was in a comic book?
Yes.
I don't know.
She says something like, oh, lighten up. Like, she gives him kind of the same version of the speech that he gave to Whiteout. And he's like, that sounds familiar. I suspect that you're Blood Axe or whatever. And then she's...
Oh, I didn't notice that. Yeah.
He's like, that sounds too familiar. And then she's like, oh, don't worry about it. You know, he's like, where have you been? She's like, what are you, my mother? Don't worry about it. Here, I'm going to get the phone, the door. And he's like, oh, I must be so tired. I'm assuming that this, you know, everybody's against me. Where I'm assuming she's Blood Axe at this point. And so the door opens. And who should walk in is their new roommate, but Bike Shorts McGee.
That's her name.
Or
Stellaris.
Yeah, and she's just not wearing armor this time. She's literally wearing bike shorts and a fucking sports bra.
She's dressed like 90s.
Gloves with no fingers.
For no reason. Gloves for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, she's dressed like, and she's like magenta.
Yeah.
Color, you know, like her clothes are all magenta.
Yeah.
And,
why does his shirt have a big fly on the back of it?
Because he's wearing a shirt that says Dead Fly Studio.
Oh.
Just wearing somebody paid to get their, you know, their production company in there, and he's like, sweet shirt, I won it at a trivia contest. So he wore it.
So there you go. That's the end of this book.
Yeah, that's it for Thunderstrike number... Oh, so you want me to tell me who Blood X is?
Yeah.
So it's the girl that was watching the Flintstones.
Oh, so it's not his roommate.
No, apparently it's not, but you're supposed to... There's little hints that are being dropped here and there about who it might be.
I see.
And eventually... And there's a big convoluted story as to why it's this woman, that woman. I don't even understand it. I've read it, and I read it before we got here. I still don't get it.
Okay, whatever.
So but that's who it is.
Okay, great. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
No.
Literally nobody cares.
Nobody cares. So would you read... What's the issue number on this again?
Thunderstrike number 12.
From 1994?
September 1994.
Okay. So would you read the next Thunderstrike and his earring?
I may, because...
You have it?
No, I don't.
Yet.
But,
yet.
I don't have it yet. But Luke Cage shows up.
Oh.
So
well,
that could be fun.
My.
And, yeah. So it looks like it could be fun. I may read... I wouldn't... I don't think I'll go out of my way to find it, but I may read it.
Would you be able to read another one now that you've seen his earring?
Well, see, now that's tough.
Yeah, see...
Because I would actually, it might be fun because I would just try to look for his earring constantly.
Is it like the Where's Waldo of this?
Yeah, now I need to go on my way to anytime Thunderstrike show up, I have to be like, I have to kind of make a scrapbook of his earring.
Like get a pencil and circle all the instances of his earring. Maybe make a Tumblr.
Make a Tumblr.
Thunderstrike earring.
Thunderstrike earring. I'll go along with other famous Tumblr ideas like Batman sitting and.
Which is a thing.
And so those are things that I, and the superheroes eating.
Yeah.
Those are,
you
those
love
are,
superheroes eating.
Oh, and Wonder Man's mullet.
Oh, yeah, Wonder Man's mullet.
The length of his, the consistent length of his mullet. Or inconsistent.
Oh, yeah, weren't we going to make, like, also a Tumblr for, like, sweaters? Remember
sweaters.
Guys wearing sweaters in comic books?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, because of the porcupine.
Yeah.
And, okay.
Sweaters. Yeah, so that's another Tumblr.
So that's it for the show. This show, actually, I've been noticing, this show has been going much longer than I anticipate. I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good thing, but you
Sorry.
Guys seem to no, but I think people seem to enjoy it. I think people seem to enjoy it, actually.
What, just over an hour?
If you keep it just over an hour, people enjoy it because it gives you a good time to ride it to work, you know, when you're at work and you're not changing through things, so... We hope you guys are digging it. We hope you guys are digging us getting into some more of this minutia stuff. And really, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We do it every week for you guys. And we do it for us, too, because we have so many shitty comics.
And it's fun.
And we will be doing it live.
Oh, yes, we will.
At the Los Angeles Kamikaze event.
Yes. Here
Stanley's Kamikaze.
Stanley's Kamikaze going on this Halloween weekend at the LA Convention Center. We can finally announce the where and when of our panel. So we will be doing a live panel on Sunday, November 1st at 10 a.m.
Yep.
It's super early in the morning and it's the day after Halloween, but bring your hangovers and let us nurse them.
Yeah, yeah. Just
with hilarity and shitty comics.
Shitty comics and, you know, and then you
get
around,
some coffee.
Stick around for
a
donut. Stick around for the Sons of Anarchy reunion.
Yeah, we're like with nobody.
With literally, like... Opie's like the biggest guy there.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, but you know, grab a donut and a fucking Starbucks and come watch our panel.
Come watch our panel. What's the room on that?
The room is 511 A, B, and C.
511 A, B, C at the Los Angeles Convention Center, 11 a.m.
10 a.m.
10 a.m.
10 a.m. Pacific.
10 a.m. Pacific. In downtown LA, it's by the Staples Center.
Yep.
Can't miss it.
Can't miss it.
And our special guest will be none other than Mike Schmidt.
Yes.
Of the, you know him from the 40 Old Boy podcast. You also know him from his many appearances on Comedy Film Nerds and Never Not Funny. He's a hilarious guy and just a great dude. And he also wrote the comic book movie chapter in Comedy Film Nerds. Guide to Movies.
Yes, it did.
So you could, you know, check that out too. But he'll be our guest, and we're going to be talking about some books, and
yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be great.
So you can find me on Twitter at Angry Hero Sean, S-H-A-W-N. Also find me on Instagram at the same thing, Angry Hero Sean, S-H-A-W-N, as well as the Tumblr, theangryhero.tumblr.com.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram. JenStansfield.tumblr.com and JenStansfield.wordpress.com, where I continue to review The Gilmore Girls and Gotham, which that's been a thing that's happening.
Yeah, she's doing the Lord's work.
I sure am.
And that's, you know, please go to SideshowNetwork.tv and check out all the fine shows here on the Sideshow Network. So thank you, folks, for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.